Welcome to the Northern Knits Podcast. We are two sisters in fiber coming to you from the Winnipeg, Manitoba of Canada, or as we like to call it this time of year, the frozen north. It's not north, but it's kind of cold.
It's pretty cold.
Hey, we're under an extreme winter wind chill. Most of Canada is under extreme winter wind chill, so it means we're looking at minus 22 to 28 degrees Celsius on average, and with the wind chill, we're upwards of minus 40 degrees Celsius.
Yes, colder than some places on Mars.
Jocelyn likes to call it winter.
It's colder than some places on Mars, albeit the equator on Mars. But we're still colder than some places on Mars.
I'm not going to Mars.
There's a planet farther from the sun than us, and we are colder than that.
Still not going to Mars.
I'm really not going to Mars, because most of Mars is colder than this.
Yeah,
also, there's no air.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
I like air.
Air is good. All right, so this week is going to be different. Shock, gasp, ah, what is Jocelyn doing to us? We're going to do a year end, because when this goes up, it'll be the day before New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
So, sweet, we're almost to 2018.
Hey, that means you're almost done those crochet squares.
Oh my god, you have no idea how excited I am for
That's
for
a very Sunday. Big smile.
Oh, wow. I'm so excited. Oh my god, I was working on my square last night, and my dad's like, so how excited are you? And I was like, this is 361! I had like four more to go! He's like, great, so super excited. I'm like, yes, yes I am. Because I'm done now. I don't want to do this project anymore. Can I move on to something else, please?
Yes, you can. Just a few more days.
Just a few more days. I'll make it. So, what we're going to do is we're going to, instead of doing a regular podcast, which if you're a new listener, I'm sorry, this is not a regular podcast, check out our backlog or check out next week, because then we'll be back to our regular program. And we're going to do the knitting survey.
I believe it is the hashtag knit life survey.
The hashtag knit life survey? Yeah. Which sounds fantastic. Which, of course, we're going to hack and or add questions to, because that's what we do.
It'll be more like the Craft 2017 survey, but, you know.
I like the knit survey. I'm excited. I've been enjoying hearing other people's answers to it, other podcasters who've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of excited to answer the questions. So we'll give everybody a in-depth glimpse as to our crafting hobbies.
In fact.
If I sound distracted, it's because I'm knitting on my socks, and the yarn is really small, and the needle's really small. And Diana can confirm that my eyebrows are very furrowed.
Those are some very furrowed eyebrows.
Some extreme concentration going on over here, folks.
I'm impressed that you can keep up babbling with all that concentration going on. That's all the right. Tongue sticking out and everything. That's full concentration.
I have also had to answer questions from a now 11-year-old, and if you know anything about small children and questions, you have to answer it right now, no matter what you're doing. So I can also have a heavy-duty, in-depth conversation about why people discriminate against those in same-sex couples while two-thirds asleep.
All right, then. I cannot claim that.
I can't tell you if I learned that skill in university or before university. But I get all sorts of weird questions when I'm not conscious. And I give answers. And my sister assures me they're full-fledged answers when my niece goes back upstairs. I don't ever remember the conversation, so I don't think I'm conscious when these are happening.
Interesting.
I don't know, man, if you ever got up before me.
Never gonna happen.
Nope. I am such a morning person. Alright, so in super ambient news, sort of super unnecessary extra news, my parents went home today, they're driving home to Saskatoon. I have my own bed back, you guys! I love when my parents come to visit. It is always a delight. I don't enjoy sleeping on the mattress on the floor in the living room. Because my dad gets up at 6:30, and my mom goes to bed at midnight, and I'm in the public room! So I get 6 to 6.5 hours of sleep.
Plus there's a cat that wants to play at 4 in the morning.
The quadruped's fine as long as I'm not trying to sleep on the couch and I'm sleeping on the mattress on the floor. Because then she races around me.
Right.
But if I'm on the couch, I'm in one of the racing zones.
Right.
That's when it causes problems, because sometimes she misjudges and steps on my face. We're 4 months old. Limb cohesion isn't really a thing yet.
Yeah, she's kind of still everywhere and sliding into walls.
Oh my gosh.
Which is adorable.
She was doing it the other day. This morning, she heard my mom refilling her water bowl for me. And she just came tearing down the kitchen. It's a straight run from my kitchen through my living room and into my bedroom and into the walk-in closet, which is where I've got her food station set up because it's nice and it's quiet and it can be like her space, so she's not really disturbed while she's eating. Full tilt, bounced off my chair right before the walk-in closet to redirect herself to full tilt into my mom.
Wow.
Just in case we were getting kibble. You have to understand, we had our wet breakfast an hour before this happened. We were not hungry. We just had to know what was going on right now.
Wow.
And that's she's got an no purchase. Excited
creature.
Because it's all hardwood. So it's just scramble, 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 scramble. And then scramble, 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 scramble at the other end trying to stop herself. Mind you, we also took a sink in the toilet this morning too because Grandma had left the toilet lit up. And we jumped up and there was no toilet seat down. Spoosh. So in we went. We were very unimpressed. It was clean water, but we were very unimpressed. Mom needed to come rescue us. Oh, so funny.
I like your cat.
My cat is wonderfully amusing.
Chris doesn't even mind your cat, and he doesn't like cats.
I know, it's kind of shocking. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Mr. B, we're working on it. We're working on it. It's okay. Anyway, we've done our necessary babble that has absolutely nothing to do about knitting, and this is a knitting podcast, so we might as well just dive right in, I think, to the questions.
All right. So, hashtag knit life survey. Question the first. What sparked your interest in knitting? And I will expand this into crochet and, I guess, for Jocelyn, sewing.
Sewing. My mom, because sewing's the thing I've been doing the oldest, or the longest. My mom and me, when I lived up north, got interested in sewing when we saw Inuit moccasins.
Ooh.
And we really wanted to learn how to do that.
I would love to learn how to do that.
To get your sewing badge and girl guides, you had to learn to hand sew a pair of indoor moccasins, which are just with fleece, right? So that was really easy. So I learned to do that when I was 8 or 9. And I sort of caught the sewing bug, so my mom always encouraged it, because then I could mend clothes and do other things that I needed to do. So she got me a sewing machine and started to teach me how to sew when I was about 9. I started to learn simple things at first, how to hem pants, how to, you know, repair buttons and stuff. Very necessary skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that, and then I got into making my own clothes in high school.
And what about knitting and crochet?
Knitting was actually initially taught to me by my grandmother before she passed away. So, my mom's mom. Which, because Diana will not look at me confused because I have a grandmother, it'd be my dad's mom.
Okay. Other grandmother. Okay.
And my mom's mom taught me before I was 13, but I learned, but I wasn't really interested. It was just sort of like Grandma Catherine was like, I would like to teach you to knit. And I went, sure, why not? In typical Jocelyn fashion, since I just agreed to join a experimental beta test of a Warhammer League thing this morning at breakfast. It's not hard to talk me into things, guys. So I initially learned then, I didn't take to it, and then, shortly before I started dating Mr. B. Oh my gosh. It doesn't feel like I've been dating him that long, and then all of a sudden I realized.
And then you count it up, and it's like, wait.
Whoa, what? I'd sort of picked them back up again because Red was a knitter and I really kind of liked what she was doing. So I picked up the needles again and started to reteach myself how to knit, and that sort of stuck. So I really enjoyed it.
So how did you end up being a mirror knitter versus the way like everybody else does it?
My grandmother initially tried to teach me. She tried to teach me left-handed properly, which was reverse for her because she's a right-handed knitter. When I picked it back up, I tried looking at the left-handed tutorials, but I found them very frustrating because they're harder to find.
Mm.
And I looked at the right-handed tutorials and my brain just went, why don't I just flip it? I mean, you'll be doing it backwards, but what the heck does it matter? You're still creating stuff in the end, which is very similar to how I do a lot of things that are crafty. Like, if you watch sewing videos and then you watch me too closely, some of my sewing techniques are also mirrored because it just makes more sense in my brain. So that's how I do it. In the end, I have the same product. Like, you've seen my shawls and stuff.
Yeah.
They're the same shawl.
It's the same.
I just kind of do it slightly backwards. And I just find, for whatever reason, it's easier for me to grasp the patterns that way. So I've never really argued with myself about that. It makes me great to help with techniques and stuff once people have learned. It makes me terribly sketchy to learn from because I am so doing it backwards.
Okay.
It's a thing. But no, I definitely knit mirror.
Yup.
Yup. You've had to rescue my stuff. I definitely knit mirror.
Wait, reverse everything.
Reverse the whole nine yards.
I'm still not sure if I put your stitches back twisted or not. I'm not actually sure.
Fine. It's close enough and I can't see the difference, so what do I care?
Fair enough. And crochet.
That is all red. All red.
All her fault.
Do you hear me, Red? This year-long project was all you, man. That's fine. No, I really enjoyed it. I looked at crochet because my granny used to crochet, and she never taught me. She passed away when I was 12. That's right. I had two great-grandmothers till I was 12. Oof. And I have one of her afghans that she'd made. It's actually the flower afghan that sits on the couch at home. You would have seen it.
Yes.
So I have that bad boy, and that's fine. And I liked the idea, but I never learned. And then I kept looking, and then you get some, like crocheting's not really a crit, whatever. I decided I wanted to learn how to crochet, because I wanted to make some crochet lap blankets and stuff. And my mom's always liked them. And I didn't necessarily want quite the same color palette that my great-grandmother would have chose in the 70s.
Yeah.
Slightly updated color palette for it. And there are some things that are really neat that are just better with crochet than they are with knitting. Like linen satchels, which you fill with cedar wood and cloves and stuff, and you put into your drawers to keep the moths out.
Okay.
Rather than mothballs.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, then you have to burn the clothes.
Yeah.
That's my view on that. So I was like, okay, gotta learn. So did the same thing I did with knitting, which was to talk about it for a bit, take a look at things. Red got me hooked on the idea of the 365-day granny square project, and I went, that is a perfect way to learn, because I'm doing it every day repetitively, and it'll start to stick in my brain, which it's now stuck in my brain, and I've learned to crochet.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. How about you, my dear?
All right. Knitting is the thing I've been doing the longest.
Mm.
I think I tried a few times as a kid to teach myself knitting out of a book, because I didn't know anybody who knit. But it never really stuck because the instructions weren't very good. So
book learning hard.
So then in January 2011, I found the Stitch and Bitch book in a bookstore. And at that point I was kind of collecting books based on awesome titles or just weird titles. And I decided this was a good title, and hey, you know what? I do still kind of want to learn how to knit.
I like how when you pick books with weird titles that you like to keep, it's the Stitch and Bitch book. When I pick books I just want to have because the titles are interesting, it's the Stiff, The Curious Life of the Human Cadaver.
Well, I've also got things like Orchids and Salami.
Yeah, see, again, what?
You know what? It makes perfect sense if you read the book.
All right, I'm going to go to your bookshelf when we're done, and I'm going to read that book.
Incidentally, Orchids and Salami is the autobiography of Eva Gabor.
Okay.
And it's very entertaining. I highly recommend it if you're into autobiographies.
Makes sense. But yes, so you found the book.
Yeah, and I knit this little square that I still use as a coaster. And it came out really well, and it just kind of stuck. I had the knitting bug after this book.
We fell into the well. We drank the Kool-Aid.
I did, yeah.
Happily.
And that was, I guess that'll be just about 8 years ago now.
Holy Hannah.
Is that right? Is that math correct?
I don't know.
2011 minus 7 years. 7 years.
For the record, you're asking the historian if the math is correct? Have you seen me try to math? It's the funniest thing ever.
7 years. It'll be 7 years next month.
All right, which works. Okay, how about the crochet?
The crochet.
Because I know you haven't picked up sewing yet.
No, I'm working on that. I keep looking at it. I have all the stuff.
Which is good. It's a start.
I just actually need to pull out a sewing machine and do it.
Yes, you do.
So.
We were on crochet.
I was seeing if I could make a joke out of that because we were just talking about sewing. And so.
And so,
I couldn't come up with a joke. Sorry, no joke.
I'm okay with that.
Crochet. My Mom was doing some gardening for an elderly couple a few blocks away from where she lived. And the lady was big into crochet and needlepoint. And so sometimes I would go with my mom. Oh yeah, I should mention, this was just a few years ago. This was only like 3 or 4 years ago.
That's good.
But sometimes I'd go with my mom and I would hang out with this lady. And so one day she showed me how to crochet. And I made this derpy little square that was actually more of a triangle.
You know, one's first crochet should be moderately intoxicated.
So I ripped it out and did it again, and it became more square.
Oh man, mine's like a trapezoid. I don't even know what it was. And I don't drink, so like that's an astounding amount of just weirdness going on.
Yeah, and then that kind of... I think shortly after that, I found some YouTube videos about crochet. Oh, what was the channel? It was a guy with a very chill voice showing a close-up of how to crochet, and I just got really into just watching these right before I went to bed, because it was just so chill.
It was your mellow time?
Yeah.
You have to remember, we've only been friends for like 4 years.
Really?
I know our friendship seems like it's been for like ever, and we've always just been friends, but we didn't actually meet till I started dating Mr. B, which was over 4 years ago.
Huh.
Yeah. That's when my brain went, oh my gosh, I've only been knitting for 5 years, because I've been knitting for about a year longer than I've been dating him.
Hmm. All right, then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so knitting and crochet.
Knitting and crochet. You will get to sewing, it's okay. Fiber crafts kind of just grow after time. The one with spinning and weaving, because weaving's next year for me. Weaving! Gotta weave you a Natsu scarf.
I got a bunch of fiber for Christmas.
Ah, we both did. I also have the very best wrapping ever. Ah, baloney.
Oh, no.
It's handy when Diana's right here and I mess up. Like, drop all of the stitches off my kneading needle.
Oh.
They're not rescuable. That's fine, because, quite frankly, it's only 3 rows in.
I got it.
Woohoo! That's exciting.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Question number two.
We kind of already answered it. How and when did you learn to knit?
Oh, perfect. Well, then let's bypass to question number three.
Number three. What is your favorite cast-on method?
Oh, long tail.
I am a fan of tubular cast-on, which I learned this year.
Which is totally fair. I've learned a couple. I've done other types of cast-ons. My go-to, hands-down favorite is long tail, as a hiccup. Possibly... Sneeze again. Oh, sneezing hurts my ribs.
I think my favorite before that was the knitted cast-on, but I like the tubular cast-on.
Well, that's fair.
I'm less into the knitted cast-on now. I think long tail and tubular.
Long tail and tubular? Which, those are two words out of context, sound hilarious.
Sounds like surfing or something.
It is totally surfing lingo. Nobody wants me on a surfboard, guys. It's a bad idea.
What? That sounds like a great idea. At least as good as a longboard.
Oh, jeez. Hey, listen. I looked pro walking around Safeway carrying your longboard with my blind lady stick out in front of me. That didn't raise any looks at all, did it?
No, not a single one.
Come spring, I really do want to try longboarding down the street to Wolseley Wool. With my cane in my other hand. With you, of course, monitoring, because, oh, that could go bad quickly.
Yeah, maybe we'll stick to the parking lot for the first little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Trust me, if that happens, we'll take pictures, folks.
Oh, there will be video.
Oh, video. Woo! Jocelyn fell over. That's not a shock.
Okay. That was cast-on method.
Yes, it was.
What is your favorite type of knitting design element? Or, I suppose, other craft jewel design elements as well?
Knitting has to be cables. And now I understand they're a lot of work. Even I know they're a lot of work.
It's just not into cables. I love the way they look, but nah.
That's totally fine. I love the way lace looks. Not a massive fan of lace work.
Don't mind doing lace. Love the way it looks. I like color work. One yarn in each hand.
See? I think maybe it's just because I haven't tried color work often yet that I'm still not sure about color work, but definitely the cables for me. Other design elements, it would really just depend on the design. for the crochet, I've got this thing. Okay, so when you crochet through the back loop.
Yes.
You get this nice little ridge
yeah.
form from the front loop. I really like that. It just looks really nice. Gives you like a little bit of a 3D effect without being this massive 3D effect.
Mm.
But it's right up there with puff stitches. I don't know why I like puff stitches, but my gosh, do I like doing puff stitches.
I enjoy crochet puff stitches. I don't really like knitting baubles.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never knitted a bauble, so
I'm crochet not, puff stitches are all right.
I'm not super attracted to the bauble look, which is probably I've never tried it because I'm not really attracted to it. So there's that. But sewing wise, not sewing. I don't know. Nah, I don't really have a favorite sewing technique.
Ooh, crochet. I think it's like a treble crochet that comes down a few rows over top of stuff.
Oh, it's a front post treble crochet.
Those ones.
Those are always good too.
I like those.
Those are fun. And they look so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, day 359 had front post treble crochets. Yeah, looked really good.
Okay.
I'll show you the square tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I haven't put it away yet.
What is your favorite project you have ever knit slash crochet slash sewn?
Knit slash crocheted slash slash
Yes, exactly.
English is happening here.
Yeah, it is. Well, we can switch to French if that's easier.
Nope, not even remotely. I'm going to say I recycled. I took my blanket from the very first bed I had, which still had the top was in still really good condition, but the underlayer had really sort of bit the big one. And it was a summer, and it had butterflies on the front of it, pink and white with colored butterflies. I'm a girl from the 80s. And what I did is I went out and I bought a fleece lining in pink that I really liked that had a small print pattern on it in the yardage that I needed. And I touched up and fixed the top half of the blanket and replaced the bottom half of the blanket with the fleece lining and gave it to my niece when she was 2.
Oh, cute.
She's 11 and she still carries that blanket around everywhere and still uses it.
Oh, wow.
From week to week. So all-time favorite project, that one. All-time favorite knitting project, Mr. B's scarf, because we're still making fun of him and how long that scarf is, and I gave that to him over 2 years ago.
That scarf gets a lot of use.
He wears it every day.
Goes like 4 times around his head.
Yeah, well, he really likes to have his head wrapped up. No, he really likes to have his head wrapped up.
I can tell. Took on 4 times around, tucked the ends in, like, oof, is there a head in there?
Sometimes I question that.
Like 2 little eyeballs peeking out.
Yeah. That's my partner for you. And I, of course, walk around with my coat undone till minus 20.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, whatever. How about yours, my dear? What is your favorite all-time knitting, sewing, crochet project?
Oh, do you have a favorite crochet project?
I've just really done the squares so far.
Okay.
And right now I'm too close to the square project to...
like anything about it ever?
Yeah. Okay. Give me some months.
Okay.
It's like a term project. I'm almost at the end of my term project. Ugh, I'm so ready to be done.
I don't have any sewing, so my favorite knitting project ever.
Oops, some contemplative thought going on over here.
Mm-hmm. I think might be my Wonder Woman shawl.
Ooh, I could see an argument for that, absolutely.
It's definitely the shapiest thing that I've done. It's probably also the most graphically impressive thing that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the thing with the longest rows that I've done.
It hits all the markers?
I think so. I think that might be the favorite thing. That might just be because it's the most interesting thing I finished recently.
But that's fair. Change. Doesn't have to stay the same.
Yeah, because before that it was definitely my rainbow side shawl.
No, I can see the argument for the Wonder Woman shawl taking its place.
I think it has to be.
Because I mean, like, next year could be your wedding shawl.
It will definitely be my wedding shawl when I finally get that done.
Yeah. Well, you've got till August, so you better start booking, ma'am.
Oh yeah. I'm finally getting the brain space back to actually work on it.
Isn't that helpful?
My holiday knitting is done, and I now have the brain space to do it, so I can actually work on the thing.
Wonderful. All right. Next question.
Crochet project.
Oh, yes, I have a favorite crochet project. I forgot about that.
I made my parents a queen-size bedspread by crocheting squares.
Right. I had forgotten about that.
I think that is my favorite crochet project that I have done. I am so proud of that thing. I did that thing in 6 weeks.
And you're never going to give yourself that kind of a deadline again.
Nope. On the plus side, I was really good at doing those squares, because it took me an hour and a half the first time I did a square. Yeah. By the time I was done, 45 minutes.
Per square?
Nice. Per square.
How large were your squares?
About 6-inch squares.
I'm just trying to think how long it takes me to do a square. Right now, the squares we're working on are like 12 inches. So there's anywhere from 11 to 14 rounds per square. So I'm sitting at about 45 minutes a square. But that's because I'm watching chunks of video tutorial and then doing chunks of... And depending on how late in the day, undoing and redoing chunks of square. Oopsie daisies. Sometimes I'm getting help. It does not my timelines any. But I can do about a... I can do a 9-inch square in about 20 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Question the sixth. How many projects are in your Ravelry queue? And part B that I'm going to add, what are your top 1 to 3 favorites that are still in your queue?
Still in my queue? Do we want me to go first, or should you go first? Because my number's scary.
what's your scary number? I want
to
hear this.
I need to go in and edit, because some of the stuff I have in my queue I've actually got on my needles. I have 447 projects in my queue.
Wow, that is a way bigger number than I thought it was going
to
be.
So it was much bigger than I thought it was going to be, too. So Justin's going to go in and she's going to correct that. I'm not going to say it's going to shrink a lot, but I might try to shave 40 projects off that.
That's, you know, it's a percentage. That's like 10%.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I think a lot of it I need to move over into the favorites column and then just move over 60 or 100 at a time that I can conceivably work on in a year or so.
Yeah,
I think that's probably for the best. It is littered with mittens and scarves and shawls and cardigans. Get just littered with all sorts of things. But I have to say the two favorite that I have on there is one I know I have to take off because I have the yarn for it. And I've cast it on for the thing, but I haven't done anything other than cast on, which is the Winter Honey Shawl by Andrea Mowry.
Mm.
Because I have that rose-colored yarn you gave me.
Yes. Was it
you? Yeah. Which is Briggs and Little? No.
Yes.
Yes. And Country Rose. And it's going to look beautiful. Is that yes. Giant Winter Honey Shawl. The other one that I have that is in there that I really, 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 really want to do is... I'm going to show Diana here. It is a coat pattern,
ooh.
And it has got a wonderful design detail up the back of it for a spring coat for me.
It's all flowers and cables all up the back on like a seed stitch background?
Yep. Oh, yeah, man. On a 3/4 length hooded coat. And I'm thinking ooh. This with a nice linen lining for the springtime. Yeah. I think it will look God. Really, really good. It is the Sylvia, Sylvi. By Mary Munro, Munronen. Last name spelled is Muinonen. It is a wonderful red coat. I'm not sure I would do it in the red, though probably in a violent colored object. Like, it'll be a loud color, because I am a loud color person. So, no, I would definitely would do that, because... It's been in my, it's the low numbers in my queue. It's not even in the hundreds. So, like, it's in the low numbers in my queue.
Ooh.
So, it's something I want because I want that nice sort of spring fall kind of bulky coat that isn't super crazy. Because I don't actually have a spring fall coat. I have winter coats. 12 of them. And I have one... Now I have one sort of spring raincoat for spring summertime. But I don't have any sort of just nice, crisp, windy day coat. Which I need. So that's it.
I have 48 projects in my queue.
Yeah, well, it's significantly less than 447.
Yep, and I'm actually going to go in and edit this down. A lot of these should go into favorites. I believe I have half a dozen sock patterns, so I will leave those in here. And there's a couple of sweaters that's like the Comfort Fade Cardi.
Mm.
And I think I have flax in here somewhere that I super want to make for myself.
The flax is a nice pattern.
But so many of these are actually just like pretty shawls that should be in my favorites. Mm-hmm. So I need to clean up my queue is so what needs to happen.
Do I.
But yeah, I'll see your 460 something and counter with a 48. I'm feeling really good about my organization right now. Question the seventh.
Are we?
We are. What is your favorite weight of yarn to work with?
Psh, easy. Worsted.
Given the stuff that I've been working on this year, I would have to say fingering. But I've been working on some worsted weight stuff and doing the bulky stuff with the mittens and the gift knitting. Like, oh my goodness, I am really into this heavier weight of yarn right now. So I might have to give up on my love of fingering so that I actually finish things ever.
Well, I'm not sure that's the weight of the yarn's problem.
I'm learning about what makes me actually finish stuff.
Okay, that's good.
And it needs to have not 3 million stitches in a row.
That's always handy, because that's a pretty beefy row to have to sit down and do.
That Wonder Woman nearly killed me.
I'm sitting at over 200 stitches per row on the Dragon's Rest shawl that I'm making for my mom. I pulled it out and showed it to my mom, and my mom's like, "Hey, so you don't have a spare hour to sit down while we're at home." I'm like, "I really don't have any time to sit down and work on this while you're at home, Mom. We were so busy."
Yeah. I've found about between 60 and 100 stitches is really, like, my limit for what is a reasonable amount for a row.
Oh, no. I'll do the bigger rows. I don't mind. It just takes a bit longer, that's all.
Ugh, no, I like to see things actually grow ever.
Progress keepers.
Yeah, that still doesn't help when you've been working on something for an hour and you've done three rows.
No, not really. I'm sitting at 220 stitches around a circumference for a sweater. There's a reason why it's taking me forever to get to 18 inches in length. It's a thing. It's also kind of nice to just knit up something and be done in a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was your first knit in our more...
How's that English going for you?
What was your first knitting project? Or crochet, or sewing, or any other craft as applicable?
I couldn't even tell you. Well, no, my first sewing would have been the moccasins, which I did by hand sewing. My first finished crochet project would have been my mother's afghan that I finished with her out of basic squares, which was during the first half of this year. Really, within the first 3 months, I knitted mom an afghan, or crocheted mom an afghan. And then my first knitted as an adult was a cowl made out of the Bernay blanket yarn, where it is my minus... It's so cold, I actually need an extra scarf. So in that minus 30, 40 range. And it is an acrylic cowl. And it's straight up knitted in the round. Nothing fancy going on with that. But I definitely didn't have any leftovers. I used the whole skein for that bad boy. It's nice. Quite beefy.
Let's see, my first knitting project was probably a scarf. Question mark. It was either a scarf out of some acrylic alpaca blend Lions brand, I think.
Okay.
Something from Michaels. It was gray, reasonably fuzzy. It was either the scarf or the fingerless mittens knit flat and seamed where you just leave a hole for the thumb. So it didn't have, like, it didn't go up the thumb at all. It was just...
A hole for the thumb?
Yeah, it was just you knit a rectangle and then seamed it together and leaving a hole for your thumb.
That's fair.
It was one of those.
That's fair. That makes sense. Like, a lot of people's first projects are, like, hats or mittens or scarves. Something that's really easy.
Mm-hmm. It may also have been... Oh, I think I know the answer to one of the later questions now.
Oh, good.
I'm thinking about my really early stuff. Yeah, I think it was probably one of those.
Okay.
First crochet project.
Would it have been that blanket for your parents?
No, I was reasonably experienced when I tackled that.
Okay.
At least I think it was. I don't know what I did between the initial square and the blanket for my parents. And I know there's something in there. But I couldn't tell you what. It's whatever's in that gap, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, so long as you don't know what it is, it's good.
There's something in there. I'm sure of it. I'm sure there's something.
Yeah, that's all right. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
What's the next question?
What is the longest time you have had a half-finished project in hibernation? What is it, and when did you cast it on, and do you still want to finish it?
The infamous Boneyard Shawl.
Boneyard Shawl.
By Stephen West.
It's not even that old, though.
It's not, but it's the oldest one I've got on the needles.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, you're more productive than I am.
Well, what else do? I read and I knit. It's kind of my life. I have recasted that on 14 times? 13 times?
Oh, yes, that was our record for the most cast-ons on a single project.
On a single project. And yes, I still do want to finish it. I need to get a longer cable cord. Yeah. And we're at the point now where I'm over halfway, so the rows are quite long. And again, you just need the free time to sit down and do it. You don't need a lot of thinking on that one. But I'm not... Well, I want to finish it. I don't want to pick it up right now.
Fair enough.
You know the feeling where you're like, I do want to finish it. And then I'm like, eh, shiny thing.
Yep. No, I get you. My oldest half-finished project... It is either the Game of Thrones mystery knit-along, which is a lace shawl.
Which is definitely not a mystery anymore.
It's not a mystery anymore. It was my first lace project.
Okay.
And at this point, my gauge is probably sufficiently different because it's at least 3 years old.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I was working on that before I moved out of my parents' house, so it's at least three years old.
Okay. So, yeah, no, your gauge might have changed in between.
Yeah, so I may just rip that out and either restart or just reclaim the yarn because it's really nice yarn. I think the main reason I stopped working on that one, actually, was because the yarn is actually fairly busy, and I feel like you actually lose the lace texture?
Lace, depending on the lace, shows up really, really good on kettle dyes or tonal dyes more than...
Yeah, I'll dig it out and show you after.
Sure, absolutely.
But it's really gorgeous yarn, so I might just reclaim it for something else.
Why not?
So it's between that and I was really into crocheting, I'm going to murder the pronunciation of this word, but
sure.
Amigurumi?
Oh, the little dudes.
Yeah, the little dolls and stuff. I was really into doing that for a while, so I have a similarly old doll that's about half finished.
That's funny.
I don't know which one is older, they're from about the same time.
Okay, that's fair.
Do I still want to finish that one? Not really. It's probably just going to sit there being half done because there's not even any point in reclaiming the yarn, but I also don't really care to finish it.
That's fair.
I'm not really sure what's going to happen with that.
Those cautionary tales of not finishing your projects.
Yeah, I think it was maybe going to be a present for somebody at some point, but I don't remember anymore.
Oh dear. All right. Well, I suppose that answers that question.
Oops.
The thing. What number are we on?
Question 10.
Oh my goodness.
What is the largest project you have ever knit or crocheted or sewn or whatever?
It is a toss-up. For sewing, there's a definite winner. For knitting, it is a toss-up between my extra large triangle shawl that I made and the mammoth shawl. So the mammoth shawl is technically, it's not done yet, so I don't know if it's bigger or not, but it's pretty darn close. So there's that. Sewing, it is definitely my grade 12 term project for sewing class, which also happened to be a Halloween costume of a full done medieval gown.
Oh, wow.
A lot of yardage in that, folks. And I do mean a lot of yardage. I was 5'10 and over 230 pounds when I graduated high school. So, not a tiny woman.
No, and no. Medieval dresses do not have small amounts of fabric.
No, they do not. And I had full sleeves, like full to the floor sleeves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was a massive, massive project. Top marks in the project, and won the costuming that year.
Nice.
Everybody could tell I put effort into it. And boy, did I enjoy doing it. Still have the pattern at home. Might make it again.
Nice.
We'll have to see. But that's it for me, crochet-wise. It'll be that granny square project when I'm finished.
What about knit-wise?
Knit-wise, it was the mammoth shawl or the extra large triangle, yeah.
Right, you said.
Yeah.
Largest project I ever crocheted was the blanket for my parents.
Well, that's a big crochet project.
Largest thing I've ever knit I might call it the Wonder Woman shawl just for the stitch count, even though I think my rainbow side shawl is bigger.
Okay.
I think both in stitch count and in just overall size.
I think overall size your rainbow side is bigger, but I don't know about stitch count.
I think it was probably longer.
Okay. That works.
Okay, we're going to go with rainbow side shawl.
Okay.
Question 11.
Ooh.
What is the worst and just overall bad, didn't work out thing you have ever knit? Or crocheted or sewn? I'm just going to say knit for the rest of this, but yes. I mean also crocheted or sewn or whatever else.
For sewing, I actually don't remember. I'm sure there's one. I'm sure there's more than one. I'm sure there's things I made where I've been like, why did I do that to myself? That I sewing thing that I enjoyed at the time, but now I look back and think, what did I do to myself? Does that count as an option?
Sure.
I sewed myself a pair of bell-bottom pants out of Halloween sateen in white with a dragon print on it.
Ooh.
I wore those things to death.
Those are some statement pants.
Oh man, with their product of their time, and boy am I excited, the product of the time was before Facebook. No photos of that thing exists. Probably those, but at the time I loved them. Now looking back, I'm like, dear heavens, what did I do to myself? Knitting wise, probably be harder, but I suspect overall just didn't work would be I just frogged a project that was sitting in my thingy that I wasn't going to finish. The distinction shawl. Yeah, I started that, and I pretty much frogged it, and I don't think I'm restarting it, so I'm going to have to close that project page out. I like it, but I don't like the colors I've picked, so I think I'm going to reclaim that yarn and use it somewhere else.
That works.
Mm-hmm.
My knit thing that didn't work out that I thought of before. I started to knit a cowl, and then I was pretty sure it was too small. So I decided, well, it'll be a hat.
Okay.
So I have this weird thing out of Line Brand Homespun with a seed stitch border that's a very large floppy hat.
All right.
Because it was going to be a hat, and then it was going to be a cowl, and it was going to be a hat, and it was going to be a cowl, and it went back and forth. It ultimately ended up being a hat.
And it couldn't make up its mind.
It should have been a cowl. The stitch count was proper for a cowl. This is before I realized how much knitting grows as you knit it.
Okay, yeah.
So it should have been a cowl.
Okay.
But it's a hat. And because it came out so big and it didn't have any ribbing in it, so there's a string of yarn woven through the inside of the seed stitch and then, like, tied smaller, so it does, like, this weird bulgy thing at the back where it's cinched in. It's bad.
That sounds hilarious.
I finished it, but it's not good.
Sounds hilarious.
I have it in the box up there. I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
See if I can get a picture of me wearing this stupid hat.
I think that'd be quite good.
I don't have one for crochet. I haven't crocheted enough for something to just completely not work out.
The 365-day project.
Oh, yeah. All the squares worked out. I just only did 60-something of them. I have blanket. It's so gonna be much a weird, ugly blanket.
So much boasting is going on as of the 1st of January.
Yeah, so much boasting! I'll make myself a weird, ugly blanket. It'll be great.
Go for it.
I will love my ugly blanket.
I'm putting away all of my squares, and I'm not looking at them till June.
Stash, dash, blanket.
I need to just give myself a break from those squares. All right, what's the next question?
What is your favorite kind of project to make?
I have currently been rocking the shawls. I haven't seemed to have left the shawl department. I really enjoy working on them. I really enjoy wearing them. Those sweaters are starting to creep in there.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to start on sweaters. Shawls are definitely my thing. I'm also a big fan of socks, despite only having done one pair of socks this year.
Which is okay. You can like something and just not have done a lot of them.
Yeah, it's been all about the shawls.
I love sewing dresses. I didn't sew any dresses this year.
This year was all about learning what I do and do not like in a shawl. Mm-hmm. Knitting long rows is what I do not like. So your traditional triangular crescent shawls knit back and forth? Nope, do not like. Do not like.
So you're saying you're moving to rectangulars?
Rectangulars, bias, things where it starts small and just grows until you run out of yarn.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fair. Everyone's got a thing.
So, like shawls, not the traditional shapes.
I love shawls. I love the traditional triangle shape. I don't think I'll ever not love them. I'm a little more wary of the crescent ones, because I don't... Given my size and my frame, they look funny on me sometimes. Mm. But I definitely like rectangular, I definitely like triangle, and I definitely am a shawl fan. Those sweaters are starting to become a thing for me.
I guess I also knit a lot of mittens. I don't mind doing mittens.
That's fair.
I'm tired of them right now, but I will definitely be making more of those mittens.
You're allowed to be tired of knitting mittens after knitting mittens solid for 2 months. Mm-hmm. I get tired of dishcloths. Doesn't mean I don't make more.
What is your favorite type of fiber to work with?
That's a tougher question.
Easy for me. Wool. I like wool.
See, tougher question for me.
Specifically, not the super toothy wool, but like Peruvian Highland wool, I guess. So like the Cascade 220 that I'm working with right now. Or the Knit Picks palette, I think.
Okay.
Is Peruvian Highland worsted. So it's just, like, it's not super scratchy. You can still wear it next to your skin, but it's just got a little bit more tooth to it than Merino.
Okay.
I really like that. Something about the combination of that with wooden knitting needles is just...
Joy?
It's absolute joy to work on for me.
Okay, that's fair. I am a massive fan of cotton.
You do like your cotton.
I am a fan of cotton knitting, which I know is not super normal.
Nothing wrong with cotton.
I find it's a lot easier because I don't get so warm when I'm knitting larger projects. And it's something I can give to my mom. So cottons, acrylics, I like working in those. I do love a good BFL. So I don't think I have like one type that I always gravitate towards. But I definitely like to stick to ones that if I'm going to be giving it to my mom, it's something she can wear. So I have a tendency to lean towards the cottons and acrylics for that reason. But otherwise, no, left to my own devices. You've seen me. I'll pick up all types of wool and like them.
Oh, yeah. No, me too. But something really magical about just the slightly toothy Highland wool.
Yeah, and I think it's the same sort of idea with the cotton for me. I just really enjoy knitting in cotton.
Are you a self-proclaimed yarn snob?
Heck no.
And heck maybe, no. Maybe I'm a little bit.
Oh, you're a yarn snob, sweetheart.
A little bit. I have no issues with acrylic. But I would like to say, absolutely not. Everybody can use whatever they want. No yarn snobbery here. But then I see somebody like knitting with acrylic and I'm like, but you could use this.
Yes, I know. You do it
too. I know it's $30 a skein.
Yeah, you know me. You know there's no yarn snobbery in me.
No.
Not even.
I try not to. I do, but I try not to.
That's okay.
I don't want to admit that I do.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
Everyone's got their thing.
It's so pretty and it's soft.
I am aware of it, but it makes my mom itchy.
But
It makes my mom itchy.
I know.
It makes Mr. B itchy. I have to be careful what blends I use around him, because it's the same thing. He's allergic to the wool. Quite frankly, I don't want to have to make my mom allergic to me, and I kind of like hugging my boyfriend. Kind of like to be able to continue doing that. Making them uncomfortable is not worth
fine.
It.
Fine, be logical and reasonable.
Also, quite frankly, you know, I just don't want to have to keep track of that kind of nonsense.
I've heard some people say that if the guy they were dating was allergic to cats or pets or whatever, they would dump the guy.
See, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do it for pets, obviously, because Chris is super allergic to cats.
Yeah, and I mean, he is.
But, I'm really glad he's not allergic to wool, because I love me some wool.
Yeah, which is, and I just, it means I have to be careful. And I mean, Mr. B can handle some wool, he just can't handle a lot of types of it. And for some stuff, he's not coming into person-to-person contact with me. He's not rubbing his flesh against my wool sweaters. Why? Is this what? No, that's just dumb. Which is fine, so I have all wool sweaters. But say scarves and things around my neck, he will come in for a kiss. And I don't want him to get an itchy neck or an itchy face, because that's just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But we've all been there. That's not necessary. And that means I get to stick to things like BFL blends and acrylics and stuff that I like to knit in anyway. It's not a problem.
Makes sense. Right, be over there with your reason.
And my logic.
I'll be over here with my wool.
She says that she's knitting on a sock yarn that is wool.
Yep.
Again. He's not touching my socks, so it doesn't matter.
Question the 15th.
Sure.
What is your dream knitting retreat or fiber festival to attend?
Festival-wise, that is a toss-up between Stitches West and Rhinebeck, though Rhinebeck is very quickly climbing to the top of that list.
I'm feeling the Rhinebeck.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it happens in fall, in one of the most gorgeous parts of the country in fall.
That's kind of why I'm sort of, and I've never been to that piece of country. I've flown through New York, but I've never actually kind of been in the New York area.
I've been through the airport once.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's something I'd like to go do. It's on my list of things I want to do. Like, I want to go see a theater play in New York. Mm. How cool would that be to take Mr. B to?
That'd be very cool.
And then we just accidentally happened to spend a weekend doing yarn.
Oh, gosh darn.
Moderately grumpy about that, but that's okay. Him and his brother could go drink beer somewhere. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And we'll call him for a pickup. With all of our yarn.
I would like to add to this list one of those knitting retreats in Ireland where it's either like a cruise or like, I would really like to do a hiking one.
Knitting tours.
Yes,
we need to do a knitting. That's what we're missing. We need a knitting tour because there's ones in Ireland and ones in Tuscany.
I would like, and they also have, they have like hiking ones in Iceland where you hike and hear about fairy stories and then while you're hiking. And then at night you sit around the campfire and knit.
You
and hear about more fairy stories.
So on your own with that.
Oh, I know. I'm super on my own with that.
Super on your own with that. Ugh.
Nope. So, yeah.
Nope. Buckets of no.
I would love to do that. Maybe 2019.
Man. Yeah, no, but I think, well, it's because of the ones we keep looking in. If we get a large enough group of knitters, the other half of our group can be our significant others who are not knitters.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do whatever they want during the day, and we do the knitting stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hmm.
No, Red's husband probably might actually join us for some of the fibery stuff.
He enjoys the fibery stuff. I think it's fantastic. Mind you, in a total segue, did you see the Snapchats she sent of her bunny at Christmas?
Oh, with the jumpy run? Yes.
Yeah, with the jump run where it set up and the bunny could go over the jump run, but he went through the jump run.
Just knocks over the bars, hops through.
The bunny's a jerk. And it doesn't even care. It's just like, yeah, I'm going through. I laughed so hard. I was like, your bunny's a jerk. She's like, isn't he though?
I showed I showed Chris that video and he's like, flawless victory.
Yeah. So good. Anyway, sorry.
Flawlessest victory.
Sorry, I had to. That needed to be mentioned. Okay. But yeah, no, knitting retreats, I think, Rhinebeck, but definitely, like, a knitting tour.
Yeah.
I could do a knitting tour. One of those ones where you go to, like, a mountainside and you stay in the hotel. Mm-hmm. Because nobody wants a super klutzy, mostly blind lady on a hiking path ever.
Okay, that's maybe not a great idea.
All of those words equal a trip to the hospital for me.
What if it's a bus tour? Where you, like, go from town to town
in B&Bs. I could do a bus tour with B&Bs, because then for the most part...
And you, like, hop off and go to museums or, like, distilleries or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you for the museums, not really distilleries, but I'm with you for the museum part.
Yeah. I kind of want to do some distilleries.
That's fine. I'll go with you. I just won't drink.
Fair enough.
Because it's still fascinating history. I just don't want the booze.
Fair enough. I'll have your portion.
Yeah, that's fine. You can argue with Mr. B about that.
No.
And Christopher. Three of you, I'm sure, can work it out. To get up in the morning and the three of you are sitting down going, okay, so we're going here today, and you got the portion from this one, and I want the portion from this one, so it's your turn this time. And me going, what am I doing?
If it's a distillery, I feel like it's probably going to be my portion, because Chris, anyway, isn't so into the whiskey.
That's fair.
If it's beer, it's probably his portion, because I just can't physically drink that much.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I like a glass of beer, but so much of it's got dextrose in it, I can't have the dextrose.
Mm. Probably less so over there.
It is a basic priming sugar in beers. So unless the beer is kegged, and in which case it is pressurized through the CO2 carbonation.
Oh, that sounds like a Charlie.
It is. It's not something I can drink more than half a glass of.
Question 16 of 25.
Okay.
What is the oldest yarn in your stash?
We went with oldest speculative yarn or oldest yarn that we've purchased?
Either one. Both. Either one?
Okay, the oldest speculative yarn is my Aunt Jerry has gifted me yarn, and I don't even know how many decades she's owned it for. And I didn't dare ask. So, potentially from the 70s? Question mark?
That's proper old.
Yeah. Otherwise, probably about 4 years old. For, no, 5 years old, because we figured it out. I got a skein of artsy yarn from one of my housemates when I lived with him and his mom and his stepdad 5 years ago. I described it to you. It's the purple double-stranded where it's got the little...
Yeah. Some interesting artsy yarn.
Interesting artsy yarn. So that would be my oldest that I know of that I can sort of put a date to, but potentially from the 70s for some of the other stuff.
I think my physically oldest yarn is... probably from about the 80s.
Okay.
I inherited it from somebody. I don't actually know where it came from, but I think it's from about the 80s.
Sounds about right.
It's just white, so, you know, white never goes out of style.
It's true, it really doesn't.
Oldest yarn that I have purchased.
I sit here wearing a white cardigan.
That would be... the dollar store eyelash yarn I purchased the first time I tried to learn to crochet sometime in my teens. It did not go well.
I'm gonna go with nope.
I never recommend using eyelash yarn unless you're, like, making a hedgehog toy or something. That's about the only good use for eyelash yarn.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, so that's the oldest stuff that I have bought.
Okay, that makes sense.
Are you a gifty knitter or a selfish knitter?
I'm a selfish knitter.
Selfish knitter. I do knit gifts.
Well,
for knit-worthy people.
I would make the caveat of all of your finished projects this year. What is your percentage of gift versus self? Because I am gifting.
Oh my goodness!
Four hats, and I have completed at least twice that in projects for myself.
See, I knit one hat this year, and it's a gift. Mm-hmm. I knit five pairs of mittens. They're all gifts. Mm-hmm. I knit one pair of socks, and that was a gift.
Yep.
I finished a shawl, and that's mine.
Yeah. I think you're a gift knitter, my dear.
Oh. Okay, apparently I'm very motivated by hard deadlines.
Apparently. Which you don't have for yourself. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shawls I finished this year for myself.
I'm feeling very insignificant over here now.
You're a gift knitter!
Apparently. I'm learning a lot about myself with these. What? Words. Let's read the words.
Sure.
What do you like to watch or listen to while you knit?
Mostly my podcasts, though I do also listen to a bunch of Audible books. Because Audible books. It's like being read to as an adult. It's amazing.
I'm a fan of podcasts. Mm-hmm. Knitting podcasts, story podcasts.
Oh, man. All sorts of podcasts.
Myths and legends and fictional I really like for knitting.
Limited Resources, which is a Magic the Gathering podcast. And Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Ooh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I also, I succumbed to Spotify's $1 a month for 3 months.
Oh, you did?
So I've been experimenting with some coffee house indie playlists.
Sure, why not?
So that's been alright. Also might just be sinking into the K-pop. Because mostly what I've turned it on for before is, like, I want something to be have on in the background while I'm streaming on Twitch, so it's, like, K-pop or electronic or something like that, so it has a very skewed idea of what I like.
I love it, because K-pop is fantastically bubbly.
I love it.
So good.
Also, they're super hardcore hip-hop. They're really hip-hop. Nope. It's just adorable.
Nope. It's hard to be grumpy when you're listening to K-pop.
It's impossible to be grumpy when you listen to K-pop.
It's so not a thing you can do.
Oh. You gotta listen to baby metal.
Ooh. What is baby metal?
It's amazing.
Okay. Both cute and scary.
At the same time?
Not so sure.
Okay. Yeah, it's like... So, it's heavy metal music, mm-hmm. but sung by adorable Asian girls.
Oh, right.
It's just as weird as it sounds.
I will go look it up. Look, my toe! My first sock.
Very cute. We are joined today by special guest, my brother.
Yes. Intermittent background noise brought to you by Charlie.
We'll get him in on some of these last few questions that aren't about knitting.
Absolutely.
Which we're almost at. Ooh. Do you prefer wood or metal needles?
Metal needles.
I'm going to have to say wood. Unless the yarn is particularly sticky and the stitch pattern is just knit.
I'm going to say metal, because then I can tell where the yarn is and where the needle is, because one part's shiny and one part's not.
That works.
And sometimes I need that extra definition. So I'm currently working on metal wood needles. My brain's going, ah!
Red needles, red Christmas yarn. It's very high visibility over there.
Oh, yeah! No, it's gone really well for me. Oh, jeez.
Is there a pattern or project that you have knit slash crochet slash sewn more than one time?
Yeah, the cat hats. They've now made 5, and my niece has put in a request for one, so I'm making 6.
I've done 5 pairs of these thrummed mittens. I'm going to do at least 1 more pair for myself. Mm-hmm. Probably a few more pairs. I think other people like the mittens.
That's okay. Isabella's also asked for a pair of those, too.
Yeah, that too.
Suspect I'll be making those.
There's also a cowl that I made more than once. I made one for my mom in a creamy white color.
Okay.
And it came out beautifully. And I made one for myself out of some of my sock yarn from San Francisco.
Right. I remember that.
It doesn't sit nearly as nice. It wants to curl at the edges into sort of this weird flat tube.
Have you thought about maybe adding an I-cord edging?
I'm not entirely sure that would help.
I don't know.
I still don't think it would lay right. And in any case, it's a very orangey-red sort of all-over tone, which is not my kind of red. I need more of a purpley-bluey red, and it's more of an orangey-red. So I just have this thing, and it's pretty, but I just never wear it.
That's fair. If I'm thinking about it, if we're talking sheer numbers, the next sheer number is that texture triangle shawl, because I own 3 of those now.
Yeah, you like that shawl.
I enjoyed knitting that shawl a lot.
I'll finish mine one day, maybe.
Sure. I'll sit over here in my disbelief. Disbelief!
Okay, we're into the non-knitting questions now.
Ooh, Charlie can join in.
Okay, into the non-knitting questions. Do you have any other hobbies?
Good.
Shall we start with our special guest?
I don't know. I kind of turned all my hobbies into what I do, so they're not really hobbies anymore.
Well, they're not knitting stuff, so what do you do?
Oh, okay. Well,
that's an easy enough question.
I'm a pianist. I also sing and do other general music-type things, study them academically and otherwise, and then I guess in all the free time I have, draw.
Student, which is like none.
Sometimes draw.
Sometimes draw.
When there's time, mm-hmm. which is never.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'll discover when you leave university, you still don't have time.
Yeah, I've been told that. I've been told it just gets worse.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I'm doing more school after this, so.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Adult life doesn't slow down. It just gets faster.
You get to sleep slightly more.
Do you?
A little bit.
I don't believe it.
It's a lie. She's lying.
I don't believe it.
Super lie. She runs out of time to do any of her hobbies because she sleeps a little bit more.
Yeah,
I like sleeping.
Sleep is good.
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I understand. I really do.
What are your hobbies besides crafting stuff?
What aren't my hobbies? No, really, what aren't my hobbies? I'm a Warhammer enthusiast. I play Magic the Gathering. I'm a board gamer. I also book blog for fun.
That's not quite always... profit?
Nah, there's no profit in that, but it's enjoyable. And I spend a lot of my free time, I don't know if we consider it a hobby or not, teaching at schools and institutions on accessibility for blind rights and teaching people how to interact with those of us who are visually impaired.
Good hobby.
That's what I do. How about you and all your free time? Ooh, Blood Bowl.
We're both
in Blood Bowl.
Yeah, joined the Blood Bowl League this year. I need to paint a Yeti this weekend.
Yeah.
To add to my team, so I can mess some people up even better.
We bought you some Yetis for Christmas.
And what else? Well, I'm a programmer by day, so, you know, I program stuff sometimes, occasionally.
Oh, I didn't put video games on the list.
Oh, yeah, play video games. Occasionally stream on Twitch.
Yeah.
Very occasionally.
I play video games by myself in the dark, in my basement. The way it should be done.
Sounds about right.
Got my really pretty light-up keyboard. I'm going to try that out tonight, maybe.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm excited. What is your favorite snack?
Food in general. Things I don't have to cook.
Good answer. Salt and vinegar chips. Anything crunchy and salty. So also salty popcorn. Which I'm sure is Jocelyn's favorite snack.
Well, yeah. You would not believe the number of people who don't understand that if I can't eat corn, I can't eat popped corn. Blows their mind every time. All the other things I can't eat because I'm allergic to corn make sense, but popped corn does not make sense. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's hilarious. Snack-wise, as absolutely boring as this sounds, I like soda crackers.
What? Soda crackers are good. The salted kind? They're crunchy and salty, so.
Just kind of like eating soda crackers.
That works. Favorite color?
Blue. I guess.
Particular shade of blue? Light blue, dark blue, violent blue.
Dark.
You sound really unsure about
this. I don't
know.
All colors are good.
Purple!
We're both purple.
Both purple.
We're both purple. Mine's
purple.
That royal purple, that super deep, only royalty could wear it in Rome kind of purple.
I'm a fan of the darker ends of the purple that also stray into the redder ends of purple. Pets.
I have a quadruped.
You have a quadruped. I don't have a quadruped. Maybe some dust bunnies.
My quadruped is a cat. I am a cat person. I like dogs, but I am a cat person.
You have no quadrupeds.
I have none of those, no. I like me a good cat, though, you know? Would like one.
Remind me to show you all of the photos I have of my kitten, because boy, am I a good cat mom. So many photos.
I get so many Snapchats of this cat.
Can you blame me?
I like when people Snapchat their pets. It's good.
So cute.
It's the content I want to see.
Absolutely.
And last but not least, coffee or tea?
See, now that's a bigger debate than you'd think.
I am well aware of how big a debate this is. And then, of course, to add to that, there's the milk and sugar debate.
Oh, I'm sugar, no milk.
I am generally... no sugar or milk, unless I'm feeling fancy.
Oh, no, I'm a sugar, no milk person. I am primarily a tea drinker, though I do consume a fair bit of coffee. So I will sit on the fence and go, I like both. Dang it.
I...
and be curmudgeonly.
Will always take tea.
Okay.
Caveat, Unless there's really good coffee.
Yeah, okay.
It has to be, like, really good coffee, though. Or if it's at some kind of function where they have the carafes with pre-made tea and coffee.
That's because they're both bad.
Because inevitably, the tea is A, terrible, B, in a carafe that formerly held coffee, so it's extra terrible.
As far as I can tell, it's just the tea bag's been wafted over the tea.
I think so, yeah. So it's, like, vaguely caffeinated gross water.
Roughly, yeah.
In which case, I will take the terrible coffee, which I can dump cream and sugar in until it's palatable.
That's fair. No, yeah, no, the, we're at a big conference, free tea and coffee is just a bad option all around.
Yeah.
Avoid it if you can.
What about you, music student? Coffee?
Yeah, I have a routine between coffee and tea, but there's, I can say no to tea and be all right, but if I say no to coffee, we're all going to have a problem.
Oh dear. So definitely coffee, then.
Definitely coffee.
Surely fair.
No.
Well, that wraps up the knitting survey. There was a couple questions we wanted to add on that we had thought of for ourselves at Jancer.
Just we managed to combine most of them, actually.
Most of them, I think we were right in. I think the only thing that we didn't was the top five just favorite fibery things.
Top five favorite fibery? Okay.
Yeah. So do we want to do a top five fiber things of the year?
Sure.
Okay. So do you want to start? Shall I start?
I have some favorite yarn.
Sure. What are
the yarn I bought
yarns?
The most of this year was Manos
de... Manos de Uruguay?
Manos de Uruguay. I've had enough coffee today. Speaking of tea or coffee. Because they have the Allegria and the Fino and the Makita, I think, was the one for the Distinction Shawl.
I think it was Makita for the Distinction Shawl, yes.
So it's the yarn that I have coveted the most at the store and not bought, and also the yarn that I have bought the most of this year.
Oh, my. Yarn that I bought the most of this year is a tie between Manos de Uruguay and Ancient Arts yarn, because I can't help myself with best names ever.
Get off my lawn!
Get off my lawn! And really seriously annoyed grapes. With titles like that for your yarn colorways, how do you say no? You can't say no!
I love the really seriously annoyed grapes.
Such a good colorway. And probably hedgehog fibers might be in there really close, because I've been buying a lot of hedgehog fibers.
I have not, but I also really covet their yarn.
Which is fair.
What other fibery things do you have?
In my fiber things? This year would be spinning, so fiber itself, actually, picking up lots of fiber, which is new for me this year.
I don't have enough spinning words to explain the things that I like best about spinning, but yes.
My favorite so far has been from Hillary's Yarnorium. Yeah, those have been my favorite ones to pick up so far.
I'm really excited to try out the giant braid of fiber I got from Wild Wind Naturals for Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't tried mine from there either yet, so we will see how that goes. We're at number three.
Ooh. My itty-bitty pair of knitting scissors that I got out of a Christmas cracker a couple days ago. The most useful thing to ever come out of a Christmas cracker are these folding little scissors that actually work surprisingly well.
That's so funny. Yes, I remember
that. Perfect.
Yes. For me, it'll be my Erin Lane bag that I got, which is Lord of the Rings themed. That was delightful.
Oh, my very pretty stitch markers that I got.
Oh, yeah. That,
that
would
are
be a good
now
one.
Embedded in my wedding shawl.
Embedded in your wedding shawl?
Well, embedded. In use with. I couldn't think of the proper term. They're embedded. They're not actually embedded, but they're embedded.
So cute. Embedded.
What? Shush. I'm going to make coffee after this, okay?
My Christmas present from you, which was so excellently wrapped. My sock blockers, which came to me with a ribbon tied around them.
Well, how do you wrap that? Stuck a bow on it there. It's wrapped.
That was great.
I figured you'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, I still haven't taken the bow off. They're so excellently wrapped. I don't want to unwrap them.
Yes, my beautiful wrapping job where I accidentally ripped the ribbon a little bit.
Yep.
And then managed to hide it in the back of the bow. I was really pleased.
Yeah. No, I have not unwrapped that present yet. So that's definitely on my top list for the year. Just because it was super funny. What's your last one? You have one more to go.
One more to go.
Do it.
Is caffeine? Is caffeine a fibery thing?
No, caffeine is not a fibery thing.
Oh, but I have favorite caffeine.
Well, yeah, but it's not a fibery thing.
Favorite new skill that I learned this year.
Okay.
Tubular cast on.
Oh.
Loving the tubular cast. Tubular cast on.
Yes, yes, you are. Your wordage is just...
I needed to make some coffee.
You had coffee at breakfast.
I need more.
Okay. Mine would be the I-cord bind off, which, while yes, takes 14 billion times longer.
It looks really nice. It
looks so pretty!
Which one... What finished object has the I-cord bind off?
The bendy arrow.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, that does have a very nice edge.
Such a pretty edge. And yeah, it takes, like, forever. And that's fine. And I complain the whole time I'm doing it. It's not going to stop me. Still looks really good.
Worth it.
Totally worth it. All right, shall we do top five non-fibery things so you can mention coffee?
Yes.
Okay, top five non-fibery things.
Top five non-fibery things from the year.
Mm-hmm.
I got mixtape coffee from the Dogwood... What are the Dogwood Roasting Company?
The Dogwood Roasting Company, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, their mixtape blend. So good!
So good?
So good! It's my favorite coffee right now.
Okay.
Right up there with
the... That's to my credit.
Yes.
Charlie's taking... You're taking claim for that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, okay. That was a lovely Christmas present. It's almost half gone.
Oh man, okay.
Well, I've been sharing it too, so.
That's definitely a thing. The discovery of the Amsterdam Tea Room for me, for 2017.
Mm.
So while even though they're close to renovations here in the city, they are an absolutely epically delightful tea place. Yeah.
Yep. So. Good tea.
Mm-hmm. All right, number two.
Ooh, number two non-fibery thing. I was all embedded in my fibery things. I like the word embedded today.
Apparently it's like
the today's first... episode brought to you by the word embedded. Putting things deeply inside other things? No, wait. Hang on.
And now you know why I leave some stuff in. And she does it to herself most of the time, too. It's great.
We stop talking now.
Heavens.
Non-fiber. I don't have non-fibery things.
Yes, you do. Coffee.
I had coffee. I said my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I got.
You did other things.
I probably did. I can't think of them right now.
Pride and Prejudice Ball.
Oh, derp. English Country Dancing.
Yeah.
Pride and Prejudice Ball. Being fancy, partying like it's 1799.
Yeah, roughly. That was fun.
It was.
That was a really enjoyable. I'm hoping we can do it again next year when they do it again in May?
June.
June?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I'd like to do that again. That was quite a bit of fun. For me, for things that I did this year, would be the symphony.
Hmm.
Which is always a good time for me.
In books, the Expanse series.
I read so many books. You know what? I'll go with the one I just finished, which I found very, very amusing, which was Hearthstone.
Oh yes, that was Pride and Prejudice with dragons?
It's Pride and Prejudice with dragons.
I like The Expanse because basically every book is, okay, we've established some stuff and this is like a reasonable future thing. Okay, no, we're building. Things are getting really weird. Okay, no, things are, that shouldn't, oh dear. And then it sort of resolves and then repeats and each book just kind of escalates. And there's 7 books and they just keep escalating and they're all good and I'm amazed. Cool. Well, I'm only on book 4, but. Chris has devoured book 7 in like 2.5 days. And it apparently continues this trend.
Well, so long as it's consistent and it's enjoyable, that's really all that matters.
Things build, space explodes, and things go really weird.
Oh, toss it between that and the Everything Box.
What is the Everything Box?
The Everything Box is delightful. It is a action-adventure told from the perspective of a crook who is... collected by a secret part of the government and said you have to help us find this box or go back to jail. Those are your options. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one where I was reading the back paragraph on the inside cover and it has the angel swearing in the first paragraph because he loses the box to destroy the world shortly after the flood.
Right.
And then 2,000 years later he's still looking for it.
Right.
It is a seriously campy romp. It's so funny. So good. Okay. I haven't read the sequel yet, which is The Wrong Dead Guy.
Good title for a book.
Such a good title. All right. So it was 1, 2, and 3. We got 4 and 5 left. Board games is easy for me. I just played Unearth with Ben. How to describe that one? My favorite types of games are games that involve luck and dice. Unearth involves luck and dice.
Ooh.
Done. Or 3 Cheers for Master.
That sounds really fun. I would like to play that.
Yeah. So those are 2 of the ones that we've been playing recently that I've really enjoyed. So it doesn't have to be games that you bought this year, it just has to be games you enjoyed playing this year. We didn't play any Kingdom Death this year.
We didn't.
Mechs versus Minions.
Oh, Mechs versus Minions, yeah. We got quite far in that campaign, set of campaigns. It sort of works like a campaign.
It's like a campaign.
There's like settings and stuff.
Yeah.
So Mechs versus Minions. Also, Roll for the Galaxy we played a lot of this year.
Yeah, you guys seem to really enjoy that.
It's become the favorite out at the lake.
Oh, I'm almost done my toe.
It's great because the little kid, if the 3- and 5-year-old want to play with us, they just sit on the lap of somebody and roll our dice for us. Mm. And then they help sort the dice. And that's like 80% of the game right there, is rolling and sorting dice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, perfect.
Done. No, that sounds good. Ta-da! Now, can you pick a thing that you've done this year that you like for number 5? You've done a lot of things this year.
Done a lot of things this year. Let's see. The year started in Britain.
Yes, it did. You've left the country twice. There's this little thing called DEF CON. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. DEF CON was pretty cool.
DEF CON was pretty cool.
I put that on the list. Yeah, DEF CON. Let's add DEF CON.
Okay.
DEF CON was definitely a top 5 of the year. There's a lot of year to think about.
There is a lot of year to think about. It's totally a thing.
Vegas is pretty cool, but DEF CON specifically. DEF CON has to happen at Vegas. It could not happen anywhere else in the world, I don't think. You need a crazy party city like Vegas to do it properly. That said, I don't particularly like Vegas because I'm not super into the partying, but for DEF CON specifically, it's perfect.
Okay. As long as you know what it is specifically that works for. My last thing would have to be Jazz Fest.
Ooh.
So I went and I saw the free performances in the park on the weekdays, which was a lunchtime thing. So I'd go down with my lunch, watch a free jazz performance, and then do some errandsing on the way home. That was quite delightful. I do that by myself, so.
That sounds lovely.
Go and I get to listen to some jazz, and it's always new jazz, so I'm always exposed to new artists, which is wonderful. So definitely Jazz Fest.
Cool.
Top 5 non-viber things done! And that's it for the year. Next time we meet, it's 2018.
Yeah, we'll have 2 weeks of regular podcasts to do. Two weeks of finished objects.
We have 2 weeks worth of it's going to be a huge list, folks. If you think next week's going to be short, nope. Don't forget, for everybody out there, to find us on our usual spots, which is Ravelry, Instagram, and our web page, which is
northernknitspodcast.com. Also Facebook. I don't think you said Facebook.
I did not say Facebook. And then we won't really have a lot of way in show notes for this episode, but that's okay. Don't forget also to cast on for your podcast anniversaries.
Yep.
And Year of the Sock?
Question mark?
Which I think might be the hashtag for that is Year of the Sock? ? I think it's going to work perfect.
I like it.
Yep. Which is really, really good. I look forward to seeing everybody's chatter on the thread on Ravelry as well as the finished objects as they start to wrap and appear. Otherwise, I think that's it for us.
Yeah, do we have our rules threads up for that?
The sock one is the only one that's missing details and stuff, but I can edit up that hopefully in the next couple of days and get that done.
Cool.
My life gets a little bit easier when my parents aren't with me. I have just a smidge more free time. Smidge.
Well, you know, when you're not hosting people, you have a smidge more free time.
Hosting people. I'm always hosting people. Hosting people, quadruped sleeps, notes can be typed. This is how this works.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Okay. Well, then I guess till next week and next year.
See you next year.
I'm Jocelyn.
And I'm Diana.
Saying no matter where your week takes you, don't forget to knit.